Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Good evening, welcome along to the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for another Tuesday evening of Football League chat. Lots to come over the next hour as we run through all of the Yorkshire news as usual. Leeds United, a very good victory at the weekend down at QPR. Kemal Roofe bagging a hat-trick, but more questions about the goalkeeper. Hull City, Leonard Slutsky now long gone. Nigel Adkins in and getting a win in his first game in charge. There are reports that Carlos Carvajal could be sacked if Sheffield Wednesday don't get a result against Wolves. A pretty difficult task to keep his job if that's the case. We'll have loads of transfer news as we build up towards January and the busy Christmas period. Good Days, Bad Days makes a return, as does Crawley Town Watch. How is Harry Kewell getting on down at Crawley? And of course, Owen Coyle's Life Stories. We do it every Tuesday at 6 on Radio Yorkshire in the company of the editor of the72.co.uk, Tom Carnduff. All right, Tom?
Yeah, I'm good. If you go on Twitter, there's a belting gif to come and, you know, to say, come and join us. It's taken from Ross County's Christmas video. Okay, I can describe it for you. There's a man, the same man who did the interviews with him, looking very disappointed, taking his kids, you know, to the club shop. Can't do it. Door's locked. Say, come on. Owen goes, no. Come along, lets them in. So it's a lovely, heartwarming gift to start things off in. What is this of the festive season?
Is this the official start of the festive season?
I think Owen Coyle signals it for me. And I think now I've found it today, I feel... I wasn't that bothered before, but now I feel very Christmassy. More Owen Coyle Christmas related gifts to come. To be honest,
if Santa Claus was Scottish, that's what he would look like. I'm not sure Owen Coyle could grow a beard or even a mustache. To be honest, it's a bit like Danny Parkinson, who's just left the building. If you've noticed today, he's, you know, when in soaps where they've had a rough couple of days, they've fallen out with the missus and they end up sleeping on the sofa and they grow that symbolic little tash. That's Danny Parkinson today. Yeah. I don't know what he's been up to, sleeping in his car.
I don't know. I didn't notice this. But, you know, it's truly wonderful. I'd advise anyone to go online and have a look, Owen. Spreading the Christmas cheer to the couple of fans that I imagine Ross County have.
So check that out on Twitter, on Facebook. You can check out the show live in Vision. You can come and watch us there. You can listen online, of course, radioyorkshire.co.uk via the apps, via TuneIn Radio as well, each and every Tuesday at 6. We talk Football League and we'll kick off with the Yorkshire news as usual, Tom. And we'll start with Leeds United this week. And, well, a very good victory that down at QPR at the weekend. I think we've been saying about Kemal Roofe for some time, a run in the side needed, and a hat-trick for the game against QPR.
Yeah, a game that, you know, I think, in all honesty, if either side was going to win it throughout, it did look like Leeds. I know QPR had spells where they did look threatening, but you just felt that was a game that Leeds were going to win. First half, I don't think either side was great, but neither side was really bad, to be honest. It was one of those halves where there were a couple of chances. Maybe, I think, probably QPR having the better of the chances. And Caleb Ekiban going off injured, big shame for him. Still waiting to hear the extent of that. But obviously, he's come back from a long-term injury, come into the squad, and he's, you know, he's looked good. But Kemal Roofe moving up front took most of that chance. I think he had 3 shots, ended in 3 goals. So great afternoon for him. Pavel Chybicki as well coming in. Of course, got the assist as well. Played down that right-hand side. And it all worked out well for Leeds in the end. And yeah, a good 3 points to start. As we've said before, what is a very, very winnable month for Leeds.
And back at home at Elland Road at the weekend, we'll discuss that. But you mentioned Ekiban there. Shame about the injury. Obviously, still waiting to hear. But for me, over the last couple of weeks, he seems to have been, I wouldn't necessarily say the difference, but certainly a catalyst for improved performances. Just what he's brought to the side in terms of performance. I think energy around the squad as well.
Yeah, Aston Villa, he was very good. He looked good at Barnsley as well. But Villa, I think, probably the best performance we've seen him so far. I know we haven't seen him much, but he's very good. He linked up very well with the three players behind him. Of course, hasn't got that league goal yet, but just seemed to suit the system a lot better and what they wanted. And then at QPR, started very well. Gave Smithies a bit of a scare when he blocked the clearance. Came relatively close with a header as well, looked a handful. And then, a bit like Sunderland, he just kind of pulled up. There wasn't a real clear incident that kind of caused it. He just started hobbling around, was signalling to the bench, and then eventually went down injured to get subbed off. So a big shame for him. It really is. You're wondering if he's aggravated the injury he had, if there's maybe a long-standing problem that Leeds didn't know about. It's difficult to say at this stage, but you do feel for him. Given how long he was out for before, it's months, finally gets back in, doesn't really put a foot wrong, to be honest. The only thing he was missing was a goal, and then it could be another couple of months, we don't know. So you do feel for him a bit, incredibly unlucky to go off when he did.
I just feel like he has made a difference, Ekiban, and Leeds have had quite a bit of criticism about some of the recruitment, but now you're seeing the likes of him come in, obviously, after being injured. And then again, Chibiki's been one of the players that people have questioned, you know, not played barely any minutes, but then came in at the weekend and, to be fair, showed a little bit what he can do.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Obviously, the news came through when the team turned up at QPR. You could see that Chibitsky and Click was there with them. Click didn't make the 18, but obviously Chibitsky did. The injury allowed him to come on. And down the right side, where he played, I thought he was very good. We saw him. The reports that we'd kind of seen of him, where, you know, when he joined, people were saying, oh, Leeds have got a right player. He was fantastic at the under-20s, under-21s Euros, whatever it was for Sweden. He was brilliant. He wasn't given a chance. Played at Leicester, was not very good. Let's be honest, he didn't play very well there before being taken off. It was an interesting one, because off the ball, you're watching his movement and he seems a bit kind of timid, doesn't want to get stuck in, seems a bit of afraid. But when he's on the ball, he seems very confident, and great cross in for the second goal as well. So yeah, looked very good. And, you know, with the injuries that are coming in, with Ekiban as well, with the options that Leeds need, for him to come in and on his league debut get an assist and put in a solid performance, and it added, it was obviously great for Leeds. And it also saw Alioski play on the left, which the two goals showed. If you have a left footer on the left swinging in crosses, you have a right footer on the right swinging in crosses, Roof's going to get on the end of him. And then it allowed him to switch it up as well, cutting inside, gave the fullbacks quite a hard time. So, yeah, it was good. It was good, and it was pleasing to see him put in a good performance, because now you feel that, well, he probably is a Championship standard player. I know we've only seen him for an hour, but it was a good kind of audition, if you like it, for a starting place.
Yeah, interesting. I think good management from Christiansen, because he's not been afraid to take players out of the firing line. He's put them in. Obviously, didn't feel necessarily ready. Maybe needed an extra couple of months. So obviously, the likes of Saez has been the leading charge for Leeds. But examples there, brought Chibiki in, didn't play very well at Leicester. You know, has been working in training about that position on the right-hand side of midfield. And again, when he feels the time is right, brings players into the side. But then equally, as we've seen with the goalkeeping situation, maybe he's been forced into making certain decisions, but he's not been afraid to make them and take people out the firing line when he feels it's right.
Yeah, the goalkeeping situation's just remarkable. Now, Felix came in, was dropped for Lonergan. Lonergan was then dropped for Felix again. I understand, obviously, everyone makes mistakes. It's a positive feel around Leeds over recent weeks, but there is a serious issue with the goalkeeping at the back. How many times have we seen Felix Wiedwald make a mistake this season? It's remarkable. Saturday was unbelievable. Unbelievable. The balls, it's a slow chip back into the box, coming out to claim it, and as soon as you saw him leave his line, you're going, he's missed this. You could tell he's messed it up completely, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's got no confidence. The players rallied around him, you know, afterwards as well. Christiansen said, well, you know, he made the mistake, but then he recovered straight after, which is fair enough. But at the same time, QPR probably wouldn't have been in that situation if he hadn't let the first one in. Everyone, of course, makes mistakes, but you feel it's happening far too often. It's basic errors as well. If you can't come out and claim a ball, as we've seen multiple times now, it's quite concerning. So I think it's probably an issue that Leeds need to address in January. I just don't know if they will.
Well spoken from a graduate of the Joe Hart Goalkeeping School, as we
that
know.
That feature we were going to do but never did.
Yeah, the Tom Carnduff Goalkeeping. Was it Tom Cardiff Goalkeeping School? I can't remember.
Academy, I think it was. I can't remember.
Upgrading to academy status already.
There we go. There's
Tom Cardiff, not happy with a school.
There's something from the textbook. There you go. Absolute textbook there. You got to come out and claim it. Easy. And he didn't.
But to be fair, you don't see errors like that are very poor. And Wiedwald has made, you know, some basic errors, but that was a complete shocker at the weekend. And you're right, you've mentioned Danny Ward in the past from Liverpool, obviously not getting the game time or squad time even that maybe you thought he would have done, having been recalled by Huddersfield and what he'd by Liverpool from Huddersfield last season, not going back out on loan. Potential there, that doesn't seem to be too much mentioned about the goalkeeping situation. One or two links starting to emerge now ahead of January, but the goalkeeping situation, nothing to report on that at the minute.
No, it's, again, that's what I said. It just feels like Leeds aren't going to get a goalkeeper in January. With Wiedwald and Lonergan both coming in, I can't see it being an area where they're going to look at. Leeds have been linked with numerous players already. They've already completed a deal for January. Yosuke Idiguchi from Japan, midfielder joining Japanese international, won't get a work permit, so he's going out on loan. You imagine Leonesa in Spain, seems a natural place for him to go. But no goalkeepers linked. The issue is you're worried that it's happening too often. I know he kept clean sheets. He had a run of clean sheets, but Leeds literally were not troubled at the back at all. They were on a run where teams were barely getting near the goal, let alone getting shots off that are going to trouble him. So you don't want it to be, if Leeds are to be a top six team, mistakes like that keep happening. You don't know what it's going to cost them. Luckily, it didn't cost them the game. It so easily could have. Literally, QPR could have equalised moments later. And I think if they did, then we'd be addressing it as more of a serious issue. But because Roof, I think, bailed them out, probably bailed Saiz out as well with his horrendous attempted lob, I think it was, minutes before they scored. You just feel it's going to be an issue. You think that the mistakes keep coming. And I know Green started poorly, but he didn't get to near mid-December and he's still making mistakes. He was sorted by then. We're basically halfway through the season and Leeds have had half a season of goalkeeping errors that could cost them more than they probably have. I think they've been a bit lucky at the moment that it's not been more serious than it has.
Let's get to Facebook. You can watch us there live this evening. Listen in all the usual destinations via the website, via the apps, via TuneIn Radio as well. Guy and Mitchell both saying hello for the evening. Guy was asking about the player coming in from Japan as well. So Tom has addressed that one. Nigel Hall, he's got a stat for us. Bradford City, which we'll get onto later,
yes,
taking the lead in 89% of games, more than any other Football League and Premier League team, including Manchester City, Wolves, etc., etc.
Pretty impressive.
Good stat.
Pretty impressive, that. Yeah, that's a very good stat.
Good stat. Back-to-back wins now for Bradford. Once again, we shall talk about them a little bit later on. Ross says, evening lads, I think if Wednesday lose to Wolves on Friday, Carvajal will be sacked. We'll get onto that in a bit as well. Philip says, good victory. Yes, Wiedwald, if he wouldn't have made that save, I think he would have been lynched by the Leeds supporters. I am sick of the basic mistakes. A few people getting stuck into the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's far too often. If he had if he'd had a decent season up until now, you'd forgive it a bit. You'd go, oh, right, OK, it's one of those things, I guess. It's a shocking error, but everyone makes mistakes and everyone does make mistakes. But when it's consistent and it's every other week, it seems, then it's worrying. But again, you just identify it as a weak link. You don't see other top six teams have these issues. You know, to be honest, I don't think there's any other goalkeeper or any other team in this league that has this situation. Even the teams at the bottom, I know they're not great goalkeepers, but it's far too often. And if Leeds want to be top six, it's a big weak link and it could cost them more than it has. And like Philip said there, if Leeds hadn't gone on and won in the end, and it so easily could have been 2-2, I think it would have been a far more serious issue than it's probably been made to be.
Kev, great to see Chibiki getting plaudits from his teammates when Roof scored his second goal as well after he created a Pablo-type cross. So you're feeling a bit more confident about the squad depth at Leeds now. Obviously, a lot of players came in, a lot of questions about why some of them might not have featured as much so far, but signs that in the second half of the season that there are players there to come in.
Yeah, I think Chibiki as well was the big one because it was him and Click where everyone goes, well, where are these two? These two are meant to be, you know, good players, highly rated players, especially Chibiki. Where is he? And not only for him to be in the squad, not only for him to come on, but get the assist and put in a good performance. It actually settles you a bit going, well, if in theory those are the players that are right at the bottom ends of the kind of priority for a call-up, they can come in and put in performances. So you imagine that their depth is there throughout the entire squad. So, yeah, great. It was great to see him. You know, part of, frankly, what was a performance full of positives in the end. But that was probably one of the biggest ones for me. And now, if he can play against Norwich, have a good performance, if he can put in a run of good performances, which, given the calibre of opposition he's probably capable of, then Leeds are obviously going to be in a much better position. You probably feel a lot happier about the squad as a Leeds fan.
Kev says, nice to know Leeds can win even when Saez is not at his best. Nathan, Christensen say it looks like the same injury for Ekuban on crutches? Obviously, we're awaiting confirmation of the injury there. John says, do you think Leeds may try and bring in another striker as cover because Ekuban has now picked up this second injury in succession?
You imagine they're looking. I think the issue, though, is obviously when everyone is fit, they've got a bit of depth in that striking kind of front department compared to recent, where you've probably got three strikers there that Ekuban, who hasn't scored, has put in performances, though Roof and Lasoga have scored as well, can score. You hope so. I think one more could do Leeds quite well, maybe a loan from a Premier League team. I think for the rest of the season, I think we're probably, for me, I think we're going to see some medium-term signings coming in January. You know, we spoke about Iniguchi from Japan. That's a bit of a medium-term one. Obviously, someone they're loaning out for work permit purposes, but could come in and play. I can't really see a scene long-term deals coming in this month. You imagine that Leeds want players they can use, but players who can also do a bit of a job now. And for me, I think striker wouldn't go amiss. I think it's going to help because we've spoke so much about the players that Leeds have coming in off the bench compared to like Villa, compared to Middlesbrough, compared to everyone. Everyone seems to have a stronger bench than Leeds. So I think the depth is going to be probably key, especially at the back end of the season where, you know, as it showed last year, that's where Leeds came undone and missed out on at least the playoffs.
Joachim says, is TC Danish or Spanish? A bit of both is the best answer.
I think it's difficult this because he's both, but I think he prefers to be Danish in terms of when you write either someone's Dane or Spaniard. I think it's Dane, but then he obviously had a good career at Barcelona. I think he supports FC Barcelona as well. Because obviously, I don't know if you saw this, the social media reaction.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously a good friend of Pep Yes. I was at the game at the weekend, Manchester United, Manchester City. What do you think of the reaction? Saw a couple of pictures coming through from Manchester United fans of, the Leeds manager's a Manchester United fan,
yeah,
with their arms around him, and then more and more pictures came out. And always whenever a Leeds manager is pictured at a Manchester United game like that, especially posing with some fans, there's always going to be some kind of reaction, but over the top.
Over the top, massively. Come on, like, it's his first time in England, his first year in England. If he wants to go, if his family want to go and watch Man United, Man City, let him go watch Man United, Man City. They're currently the best two teams in the country. What's wrong with going to watch the game there? Obviously, as well, the Pep Guardiola link as well. He's not a Man United fan. I knew that because he told me that he supports FC Barcelona when I asked him about Neymar months ago. He says, as an FC Barcelona fan.
If he told you, must be true.
Well, he would, you know, if he says he's a Barcelona fan, he's a Barcelona fan, isn't he? Massive overreaction to it. Leave the guy, if he wants to go and watch football, let him go and watch football. Just remarkable. And it was the fact that Andrea Radrazzani and Thomas Christiansen both have to tweet to justify this. If he wants to go, like I said, if he wants to go and watch football, if his family, if his son, whatever goes, come and go and watch Man City, Man United. Yeah, sure, we'll go. If it's at Old Trafford, your probably best shout at getting tickets is going to be sitting in the Man United end because they're at home. If it was the other way around, the best bet would be sitting with the Man City fans. It's just how it is. Doesn't matter. It does not matter.
David says, so we have a Glory supporter on the mic. Looking at you, kid.
Me?
He's looking at you.
What have I done?
What have I done? I've not said anything, so he must be talking about you.
No, I don't. I don't support Man United. But like I said, if he wants to go and watch Man United, Man City, fine. If Leeds come back on Saturday, right, and play like Pep Guardiola's Man City, I don't think anyone will care. I don't think anyone will care. And if he gets Leeds promoted, I think he could probably do a lot worse things than go and watch Man United. And I think a lot of people wouldn't care.
Hmm. And if he ended up in the tunnel by accident and slapped Mourinho and took some
imagine if it's him that's done it after all. He should have come out. I think everyone would have gone. Everyone who was complaining if he went, I was the one who threw the milk. We go, all right, fair enough then. Yeah, hope you enjoyed your trip.
We'll see whether he resumes his love of Manchester United at any future games when Leeds aren't playing. But for now, I think we'll let him off for that one. Enjoying a nice Sunday out with the family. Philip says, I think Klitsch needs to go out on loan. He tweeted, time to watch some proper football on his Twitter. So obviously an attitude problem.
See again, Klitsch. This Manchester derby has caused more problems than it has anything. He's justified, said, well, no, I didn't mean proper football. He got to bear in mind English isn't his first language, so to him, he probably meant, well, I'm watching first v second in the Premier League. Frankly, in this country, you don't get any better standard of football, technically, than the top two teams in the top division. So I don't think he meant it in any malicious way at Leeds. I think it might have been just a language issue. He's, you know, it's great if I wrote something in German, I'd probably, when it's roughly translated, whilst I know German, it's probably not going to be bang on what I mean. So it's the same with him in English. So I don't think it was anything like, oh, Leeds are rubbish, I'm not playing, I'm going to watch some proper football. I think it was just, I'm watching the top two teams, and that's that. So again, like Christiansen, I think there was a bit of an overreaction to it. And again, it's just a game of football. Let them watch it. If they want to watch it, the rest of us were watching it. Why can't they?
Tom auditioning for his new role, PR. You're going to be a new Alistair Campbell. You did a pretty good job here of diffusing these situations.
Well, it is. It is. We were all watching Super Sunday. Everyone got in front of their telly, watched the Merseyside Derby, watched the Manchester Derby. It doesn't matter. We all just watched football. Move on. Easy. Easy.
Okay. Calm down.
I'm fine.
Calm down.
I'm calm, Sam.
If there's any selfies coming out of you and Manchester United fans, because you were down in London, weren't you? You were struggling to get back.
Yeah.
You were at Euston with the rest of them.
Well, I saw the picture on Twitter, and I tweeted this. It just made me feel better knowing that they couldn't get there. So I'd happily be stuck. But yeah, I didn't rush down to pose for any selfies. rest assured. that did not happen.
We'll see if any emerge. Nathan, so he's seen people saying that it was a dodgy bounce, etc. That's for the Wiedwald mistake, but absolute rubbish. A fraud of a keeper. Nathan says, Eddie, wish we'd have kept Rob Green, but our keeper made a good recovery save after his error. No reason, Philip says, why Leeds should not return to Stockdale. Pulled off some stunning saves against Fulham at the weekend.
They looked at Stockdale in the summer and decided against it. Stockdale, obviously, when left Brighton, the point was he wanted to move further north with his family. Leeds took a look at him, decided instead that they'd go for Wiedwald. He ended up at Birmingham. The options are out there. That's the thing, the options are out there. And this is nothing personal against Felix Wiedwald, Andy Lonergan. It's just, obviously, it's a weak link and Leeds need to strengthen. So there are obvious, you know, there are people out there. It's just where they go. It's just, do you just buy someone with Premier League Championship standard because you know that they're going to do a job? The alarm bell, so Felix rang obviously when he played 25-odd Bundesliga games and Leeds signed him for 500k. You know, well, there's got to be something wrong there if they're getting him that cheap and he's a top-flight goalkeeper. But the options are out there. The options are out there. I'm just not sure if it's a place that they'll think that they need to strengthen in the summer, in January.
Guy Balderson back in touch from Harrogate this evening. Mistakes are made. Leeds made one with the goalkeeper. David says, we as Leeds are a great team. We will this season get in the top six. He's promising top six.
They're capable. I just think they need to add a couple in January. Christiansen said last week he thinks the team currently is good enough for the top six. The team might be. I don't think the squad is. This was the issue last season. The team was good enough. The squad wasn't. The squad wasn't there. So, couple of recruits in January, and I think they're capable.
Larry Lamb has been in touch as someone rings my phone.
Hello.
what do you think of the new Japanese signing? We mentioned him before. Seen his YouTube clips. Looks very handy.
Yeah. Not going to sit here and pretend to be a Japanese football expert, but you read the reports, you see what journalists in Japan, etc., are saying, and he's quite highly rated. Some people have, I've seen a few actually say it's just disastrous business by his current club. You've got to look at the fact Leeds are paying 500k for how old is he? 21 years old, who plays for his country, Japan, who will be at the World Cup. So there's got to be something in there. There's got to be some talent in there. And not just for the football side of things. Leeds obviously looking, I think they appointed someone to be part of head of football in that region of the world. I don't know what the official title is, but they essentially want to market and grow the club over in places like Japan, like we've seen some of the other top Premier League clubs do, become kind of not a brand, but market the club more. If you have a top Japanese player playing for you, it's much easier to do. So, yeah, it works, fits that category, but looks a decent player based on reports and stuff like that. It's just how involved he's going to be at Leeds next year, because obviously we won't see him this season because of the work permit issues. But quite excited to see what he can do and see how he does out on loan wherever he goes.
Look forward to seeing him in the future. Philip, who a few people have mentioned Danny Ings before, but came off the bench at the weekend,
yeah.
As Philip points out, starting to get back to fitness, an option on loan. You mentioned a Premier League striker on loan could be the one for you. Would Danny Ings fit that?
Yeah, I was quite surprised, actually, when he came off the bench on Sunday. I thought, you haven't seen him in a while, but he's come back on, so you're thinking, well, are Liverpool going to be willing to loan him out if he's playing? It's quite difficult. The player I've mentioned before and again, Leonardo Ochoa, Leicester, because he's a top Championship striker. He showed it with Brighton, and he's not playing. He's just not playing at Leicester. He's not involved one Premier League game this season, two in the EFL Cup. He played in the Checkatrade Trophy last week. They're not using him. Leeds could do with him in the system they've got. I just don't think Danny Ings, now he's been involved again, is going to be one that they can get. But again, like the goalkeeper, there are options out there. And I think they need to be going down the route of getting players with more championship experience to kind of add to that, the experience alongside the talent as well, and players who know what it takes to get out of this division.
Yeah, I think your man there's a really good shout. I think Ings as well, if fit, would be a decent option. Philip says, what's happened with Sam Byram at West Ham? As far as he can see, he hasn't been involved at all this season, not even on the bench.
Well, he's had injury problems, I think, since he's been there. He had an injury last year. I think he was injured at the start of this year as well, and then Pablo Zabaleta came in. So you're thinking it's going to be difficult for him to push out Zabaleta, really, when he's going to come in as the short-term help them out. But then you hope that he's going to learn from someone like Pablo Zabaleta, that he's going to help him with his game, same position, etc., and in the future they'll use him more. But yeah, I think he's probably been... I think the injuries haven't helped. And yeah, he's just not been involved. It's a shame that Leeds don't need a right-back, right midfielder, because I'd be saying get Sam Byram back on loan. But of course they don't need him. He's been involved in the Checker Trade Trophy for West Ham a bit as well. But yeah, he's not been involved. But then at the same time, I don't think there's too much he could have done for that through injuries. And obviously, it's fair to say a top right back in the Premier League in Pablo Zabaleta coming in.
That's Leeds United for now. We shall get through more of your comments very, very shortly. Let's just talk about a couple of other little bits. Sheffield Wednesday haven't won since the 4th of November.
Yes.
Carlos, we've mentioned it many times. Every time he seems to be on the verge of maybe losing a job, they string a couple of results together. In fairness, that run has involved quite a lot of draws. Obviously, defeat at the weekend to Norwich. But when you consider that Hull City sat their manager quite recently, Slutsky has gone, Adkins in, and there's only 5 points difference between the two teams.
Yeah, Carlos, it's going all wrong, isn't it? Reports came out over the weekend that he could be sacked if they do not beat Wolves. They host Wolves, of course. Friday night football should be a cracking game to watch on telly if you're allowed, obviously, being a Leeds fan. If they don't win that, then apparently he could be getting axed. But then he's got the touchline ban now, hasn't he, for being sent off against Hull. Another touchline ban. So interested to see if they'll give him another game after that so he can be on the sidelines or not. I'm not too sure. It's not gone to plan, is it? And I think I'm quite surprised he's got this long. I think the relationship with the owner has probably saved him for this long. But Sheffield Wednesday at the moment are a team that are nowhere near good enough to be capable of making the playoffs. And you imagine change is going to come sooner rather than later, because they're a team that, as we know, with the money they've spent over the years, with how close they've come to being promoted, expect to be at least a playoff side, and then they're not doing that at the moment.
Yeah, I think it could be time. I think we've said it before. Wolves is the game Friday night, and going to Hillsborough with the best away record in the division, obviously top of the table for a reason, but you've got a fear for Wednesday on Friday.
Yeah, it's what can you say? What else can you say? It's all the same as before. Went to Norwich, lost again in the late kickoff. Wolves, you're not going to give them much chance getting sent. I know Wolves slipped up at the weekend, were held, but Wednesday now 10 points away from Sheffield United in sixth. They seem a million miles away, 17 points off second, Cardiff, who of course drew last night. By their standards, it's far from good enough. You wouldn't back them to get anything against Wolves, not just because of Wolves having the best away record, the best team in the division, just you've not seen enough from Sheffield Wednesday. And again, you feel it's coming sooner rather than later. I'm just not sure where they go. Who would they appoint at this stage? Who's out there that they can go and get.
Yeah, even with reprieve against Wolves, they've got Middlesbrough then to go to Hillsborough 2 days before Christmas. Boxing Day, they got a Nottingham Forest. Three tough games ahead. You kind of feel that Friday might be the perfect opportunity, if they are going to make a change, to do so over Christmas. They can get things sorted, new manager in for the start of January. But who would they get?
Difficult. Paul Heckenbottom. Should we tout him for it?
Well, we've always done, but Barnsley now in a wretched run of form as well.
Yes.
Lost five in a row.
Is that, who can they get? Who's out there? Who? I understand the appeal of Sheffield Wednesday. They've got a decent squad. Obviously, the big ground, the two clubs, City, probably the bigger of the two sides, I think, just in the City. Money to spend as well if they need it. You can see the appeal, but they're nowhere near where they want to be. What's the aim now? What's the aim for Sheffield Wednesday? Can they realistically think they can get top six this season? I don't know. We're now near halfway point and they're 10 points away. Can they close that gap? You're not sure. So what's the aim? And I think once they establish that, they can know who to go for. Do they go for the short-term fixer? Do they start the project all over again? Do they have the patience to start the project all over again? Because really, this should be the season they go up. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where they go. I'm not sure who's out there and who would be the right person to take them forward.
Difficult one with so many teams already making changes. A lot of new managers already gone in at clubs. Maybe you look at someone that's just lost his job. But you look
hard
at those kind of guys, Tony Pulis, for example. History tells you it's probably not best to jump back straight into a job, bit of time off, come back, you know, maybe late next year to try and save a side, or wait till the summer. There aren't, I don't think, many big options for Sheffield Wednesday at the moment. Obviously, Alan Pardew was linked at the end of last season. Again, now in a job. So, yeah, I think the options are a little thin on the ground for who they get as a long-term replacement. We shall see. Sheffield United, things not going too well for the Blades. A bit of a dip at the minute. They are six in the table at the moment. Leeds 4 points off them. Borough five away. But they've not won now in four games since they beat Burton. They've lost to Fulham. They drew with Birmingham. They got beat at Millwall and beaten by Bristol City at the weekend, who are now up to third in the division. Are the wheels falling off a little bit, or is it just the Blades' little dip?
I don't know. We kind of voiced concerns about the quality of the Sheffield United squad. Of course, they're doing very well at the moment, but are they going to be able to maintain it? This run of form has now meant, from what was a two-horse race, you felt, between Wolves and Sheffield United, to Sheffield United being 11 points behind Wolves in sixth. And they go to Preston this weekend, which, again, they're not going to find easy. Preston turned the corner a bit now, upturning form after a bit of a dip. Won three of the last five. They'll fancy their chances against an out-of-form Sheffield United. And we could be sat here at 5 o'clock on Saturday, and Leeds could be a point off them. They could be close to even dropping out of the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Watch them Friday. I think me and Mark were saying in the office on Friday that we fancied Bristol City for it. Obviously, they scored, Leon Clark scoring again early in the second half. But I question just Fleck, his actions, why he did what he did. You know you're going to get red carded for that challenge. You know your team's on the front foot. You know they're fancying their chances here. They were really pushing. They hit the woodwork however many times. They had Bristol City on the ropes a bit, and then he goes in, flies in, gets himself a straight red, and it kind of relieves all the pressure. So that, for me, was obviously a key turning point, probably a stupid decision from him. And again, this weekend, they're playing an informed Preston side. It could be another loss, and then do you start to panic a bit? I'm not too sure if Sheffield United overachieved this year or so far this year. Have they done a bit of a lead to where they're probably victims of their only early season success? I don't know. I know it's quite hard to kind of say at the moment, but they're definitely struggling in recent weeks.
Obviously, Wolves, they drew at the weekend. Sunderland getting another very, very good point against them. Cardiff, that game last night, Reading 2-0 up, Cardiff coming back to get the draw. What about Bristol City? 21 games played, 11 wins, 7 draws, 3 defeats, which is the same amount of defeats as both Cardiff and Wolves in the division. Their form has been outstanding this season, always been criticised maybe for a team that sells some of their star players, but once again, they've managed to put together a really good team.
Yeah, obviously, with so much speculation about the likes of Aidan Flint in the summer, he's just carried on what he was. He's such a goal-scoring defender last season. He's carried that on this season. It shows. I've already seen transfer rumours relating to Flint, Brian Brownhill, Reed up front as well. I've even seen Wright linked with moves away. So many players have been linked with moves away. It shows the talent they've got within that squad. And yeah, it's going very well for them to go to Bramall Lane and get anything, especially a victory. Great for them. And 4 points off Cardiff. I know Cardiff don't look like slipping up at the moment, but if they can keep within touching distance of the top two for the remainder of the season, who knows? But going very well at the moment, a lot better than I think a lot of us would have imagined.
Really interesting game in the top six at the weekend. Derby, Horst Villa. Derby now up into fourth after the weekend's results, obviously inflicting that fifth defeat in a row on Barnsley. For Villa, they've drawn a couple of games. Obviously, the Leeds game they drew with Millwall at the weekend, who are grinding out some decent results. Millwall to just ever increasingly getting themselves point by point by point as they bid to stay in the division this season. Maybe not as many wins as they will have liked, but are proving hard to beat. And that game at the weekend, I suppose, for both sides, an opportunity to get a little bit of daylight. But for Derby, I think, at the minute, they're looking like the side who could go on maybe and challenge the top two with the way they're going.
Yeah, Derby have, I think, in recent weeks, of course, the defeat to Ipswich a few weeks back, and that was when Ipswich were hitting that kind of a bit of a run again. But, yeah, again, the talent they've got in that Derby squad, we all know about it. They're always mentioned as playoff. We expect a Derby to be playoffs with the manager they've now got. And it's always highlighted, look at Derby, look at Birmingham now. It just shows the person they've got in charge. It's just whether they can handle the pressure. They're the fancy team again. They're surrounded by, or up there with Cardiff and Bristol City, who aren't fancies, who are the underdogs. Are they going to be able to handle the pressure of being the expected team? Aston Villa this weekend, that's, again, another side who I think a lot of people expected to be in the playoffs. It's just we've seen it too many times before. Derby unable to handle the expectation, but you trust the man they've got in charge now to be probably the guy, the manager, that if they do eventually get promoted again, he's going to be the one that can do it with them.
Yeah, they're going really well at the minute. Middlesbrough, they had a win at the weekend beating Ipswich. They go to Millwall at the weekend, so another interesting test for Gary Monk. We've already mentioned Preston. Nottingham Forest, do you think they still have an outside chance of the playoffs? Forest, they've done much better than I expected so far this season. They've yet to draw a game
this good,
season.
Isn't it?
10 wins, 11 defeats,
yes,
for them. And a trip to Bristol City at the weekend will be a test. Do you think they maybe have an outside squeak, 7 points off the pace currently?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure on Forest. I think I had them as just mid-table this season, if I remember rightly. Going well, though, 10-0 away. It's been very, like you said, very hit and miss. That means it's incredibly hard to put a run of form together when you're not drawing any games. I don't know. I just think there's two fancy teams around them. You're looking at Middlesbrough, you're looking at Leeds. I don't know if they've got the talent within that squad to kind of be the dark horses and mount that promotion kind of push. But regardless, if they can finish around just outside the playoffs, you know, have a real go at it, then I think given their recent seasons and obviously, we all know about Forest. If they can finish, what, eighth, ninth, be within touching distance, look like they might break in at one point, then I think they'll consider it a good season.
Let's have a look at the rest of the table. What about Hull then? Obviously, Slutsky now gone. Nigel Adkins in. A win at the weekend, 3-2, beating Brentford. Do you think Hull can string some results together now? For me, it's still what happens in January is going to be the crucial thing. How many more players leave the club? Can Nigel Adkins have an impact, not just on the field, but off the field as well, in terms of getting through to the owners about recruitment and not selling star players?
Potentially. I think maybe you could get a message through on recruitment. Probably not in the way he wanted, looking at the next games. They got Cardiff away, Leeds away. They then host Derby and host Fulham. It's a tough month. They could be going into the January window once again close to relegation. I know they're not a million miles away, but maybe that could send a recruitment message. Probably not the way that he would have wanted. A very, very tough run of fixtures at the moment. But again, if they can start getting points out of that, then I think people buy into it. Buy into, obviously, Atkins being there. I mean, it'll probably work in their favour in a way that they're not expected to get anything out of this. So if they can, then you imagine the players, the team, potentially the owner are going to get behind him and think that this is probably a good appointment that can kick him on under the table, up the table, but incredibly hard next few games for him.
They've obviously had a lot of criticism so far this season, but they're currently 18th in the table, just 5 wins, but they're the second highest top scorers in the whole division.
It's remarkable.
Adkins can sort out at the back and keep them scoring goals. There is a potentially, despite the amount of players they've lost, could be a really good team here.
Could be. It could be, but then we saw it again. They conceded 2, scored 3. It's high scoring. They're scoring goals. I'm not sure if they can sort the defence out. It's difficult. But like I said, if they can, then they're probably onto a winner there. With they're a team that are capable of scoring goals. They've scored more than Villa, Derby, Bristol City, Cardiff, Sheffield United, Leeds, Middlesbrough, teams who are up there. It's just obviously defence. I'm not too sure if Atkins will be able to. Again, I know we've said that we're not sure that the Atkins appointment is going to work, but that's purely not through a fault of his own. I just think there's too many problems at Hull. But I think at the moment it's just keeping them up, steering them away from relegation and maybe having something to build on in the future, because you don't know really where Hull are going at the moment.
What about Barnsley? Lost 3-0 at home to Derby, 4 points above the relegation zone, lost 5 in a row. Now, where are they going?
Well, down at this rate.
They're going down. You think they're unsavable? Obviously, you've got here, again, more players linked away with moves in January. Swansea sniffing around yet another star player for Barnsley.
Yeah, Yeardham, who was close to moving to Huddersfield in the summer, wasn't he? That move never came about. He stayed there. You imagine he's probably going to go. I know Swansea were interested in him in the summer. You can't imagine he's going to want to stay around. I know Swansea aren't doing fantastically in the Premier League, but there's obviously more of a chance of playing in the Premier League with Swansea than there is with Barnsley. Horrendously out of form at the moment. Leeds went there the other week, saw them then. Didn't look great. I know I've spoke to people who have also seen them over recent weeks and said it's not been great football. They don't look like a team with an identity direction. I think they're probably going to be saved by 3 worse teams than them, similar to Hull. But again, I feel for Heckenbottom. We sing his praises so much that they had such a good squad, so much talent in that squad, and it's been taken away. So it's showing now. They're struggling. The calibre of players they've been bringing in hasn't reflected those that are leaving. And you don't know. You don't know what they can do.
Barnsley struggling. Let's just have a look at some of the other bits from the Football League. Bolton reportedly keen on re-signing Zach Clough.
Yeah, Zach Clough at Forest, Bolton. It's going to be a loan one. It's difficult, though, Bolton, with the whole wage thing, so you imagine that's why they're going for loan. Clough probably not involved as much as he would have liked at Forest. You imagine that's kind of a calibre of player that if they are to stay up, I think that'd be a very good addition, someone they know about as well. So, we'll have to see when it comes to January, but the transfer rumours in full swing at the moment.
The Derby owner, Mel Morris, at CBE, as you were put here, to give him his full title.
Yes.
Well done, Mel. A popular decision, finally. Nothing to do with Steve McLaren, but it has to do with one of his former clubs, Manchester United, and some subsidised tickets for the FA Cup game.
Yeah, £45 I think it's going to be for Derby fans to go to Old Trafford. I think they're going to subsidise it by about 33%, which means that it's going to cost £30 for Derby fans to go. We know about the £30 rule in the Premier League. It obviously doesn't apply to the FA Cup. So, yeah, they're obviously a popular decision, subsidising fans who can then go and watch their team play at Old Trafford without having to pay through the roof to do it.
Cardiff, obviously looking to cement their place in the top two. Ambitious move, potentially. Diafra Sakho from West Ham.
Yeah.
He loves a striker, Neil Warnock.
Yeah, it's...
They paid a lot of money for him. How much did they pay for him,
West Ham? West Ham paid... It says here 5 million. I'm not sure how accurate that figure is. It's just... it's difficult. Are Cardiff going to gamble now and say we'll probably have to pay a fair bit for this lad, but... You imagine he's going to do a job in this division. You imagine they'll probably gamble, I think, at this stage, given how close they are to a potential Premier League return. But I think it would be pretty ambitious, because that's a player who has been involved a lot at West Ham this season.
Could you imagine? Neil Warnock with a record promotion. Now it's time to talk about someone that maybe isn't getting a promotion this season.
Obviously, the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again, they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with three defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. But Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
Come on then, Tom. They're unbeaten in three games.
They're doing very well, annoyingly, at the moment, Crawley. 2-0 win over Mansfield. However, Morecambe, Port Vale and Chesterfield all won down there as well, so they are still 4 points off relegation. They're seemingly in a good run of form, but actually haven't gone anywhere. I don't know what that says about Crawley, what it says about the league, whatever, but they're seemingly turning it around a bit. But then so is everyone else down there. They don't score many goals. 19 goals, second lowest in the division. But in fairness, they don't concede that many either. Two wins in their last three. They're up to six wins now out of 21. They're still close to relegation. Still very close. 4 points off. They take on Crewe this week away. A winnable game. But at the same time, if they lose it, then they'd been dragged closer. Crewe currently sit 22nd, joint on points of Forest Green in the last relegation place. So a true, stereotypical, cliche six-pointer for Harry this week.
There we go. I'm not sure if that we can account that as praise or not from Tom. You're giving it him at the minute.
No, because...
Bit of credit.
No.
Bit
not,
of credit.
Not
got, turning it round.
Yeah, but they've not gone anywhere, have they? If he turned it round and they were sixth, I'd go, all right, fair enough, they're doing well.
They'd be a miracle worker.
They're still 4 points off. But they've got a chance to get another win this weekend. So it could go either way. They win, it looks great. If they lose, then the picture's not as pretty.
Paul Gabbett has been in touch. He says he think it might be playoffs. I'm not sure he's talking about Leeds. Crawley.
I hope not Crawley. Because even by the most... or the biggest Crawley Town fan, that is a very ambitious estimate.
And what about Chesterfield, eh? They're on a right tear.
Yeah, what's going on?
20 points now. They've won five games and they've won three of their last four.
Good news for local reporters in Chesterfield who elected to follow Chesterfield as they're now winning. They're still joint on points for Forest Green in 23rd, though. So I think that probably highlights how terrible they've been up to this point, that they've... undefeated in five, three wins out of the last five, and they're still joint on points of the relegation zone. But it looks better. It looks much better. But they travel to Wickham this weekend, so
you never know.
One. You never know, though. You never know.
Right, Tom, you have got 15 seconds to tell us about this week's 30-second coil.
This week talks about management, how he got into management, at what point he kind of knew it was time to get into management, and starts off by talking about player manager. doing that for a bit before full-time management.
Great timing.
Until I went to St Johnston with Jeff Brown, and even then I played some games at the start, but recognised that, you know, I think it was 37-38 at that time. You know, the legs are not what they used to be in terms of scoring goals and everything else, but it was now the natural time to progress into management. So I always had an eye on that, but I wanted to play as long as I could, which I was, you know, thank God I was very fortunate to do that. And then for me, it was a natural progression from the coaching side to get to being your own man, and I've really enjoyed it since.
Thanks, Owen. Same time next week for Owen. Do you have a Christmas special for Owen or not?
I've got a Christmas special GIF lined up. Make sure you go to @radio_Yorkshire to see our lovely welcoming GIF of Owen tonight. Got another one lined up for next week for the Christmas special.
There we go. Hopefully, yeah, a bit of Christmas-themed 30-second call. Maybe we should get him on. If he's in the Christmas spirit, he might come on.
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Let's put the call in. Come on, it's Christmas after all. Good days, bad days. Time for this week. Tom, get us underway. I say you've got 60 seconds here. Loads of time to
Loads of time by this standards. We'll start Championship, spoke about already. Good for Hull City. Winning start to life in Hull. How bleak that sounds. But for Nigel Atkins, they beat Brentford 3-2. Bad for Wolves. Probably everyone's banker at the weekend. Drew 0-0 at home to a struggling 10-man Sunderland. I think Lee Catmull got sent off in that one. Shock, horror. Good for Bradford City. Mentioned them already. They came out 4-3 winners against Rochdale. A 7-goal thriller. Not bad for a terrible pitch, supposedly, at Valley Parade. And bad for Northampton. Hammered 5-1 away at Oldham. They stay in the relegation zone. Into League One, Chesterfield. Good, of course, for them. They moved out of the relegation zone. Still joint on points. Over 2-1 victory away, or over Barnet, should say. And bad for Yeovil. Their bad run of form continues. So they lose 2-0 at home to Lincoln City. That's good days, bad days for this week.
Excellent. Let's have a quick look at some of your Facebook comments we've not managed to get to. David says, even though he hates Manchester United, he still watches the game. Like you said, Tom, it's the best show of football in England at the moment. Joachim says, when Leeds win, TC is Spanish. When they lose, he's Danish.
Okay. Yeah.
Guy calls you a cheeky monkey as well along the way. David asks when your Norwich, Leeds Norwich FIFA game is on.
It's on now. Literally. On now. Like a minute. It comes out in a minute. So check in a minute.
There we go. Breaking news. And Guy says, he remembers hoping to meet Leeds United legend Paul Medley. That would have made my year. But he missed him.
Oh, God.
That's good. That's the FL72 for this week. We have the news at 7 o'clock coming up here on Radio Yorkshire.